This is George O'Brien bringing you the story of an invisible fence that stretches from the Earth to the Moon. Another in the series...
Adventure is your heritage. The story you're about to hear deals with the discovery of radar, another of the great scientific contributions of the United States Navy. And now, George O'Brien as Dr. A. Hoyt Taylor in The Invisible Sentry, a true story which proves that in the Navy, adventure is your heritage.
It started with a broken shoelace. On the right shoe, if I remember correctly. It was the morning of September 27th, 1922, in Washington. Leo Young and I, I'm Doc Taylor. We were experimenting with a very newfangled apparatus called shortwave radio, sending signals across the Potomac River from our spot in the Naval Aircraft Radio Laboratory near the Navy Air Station at Anacostia, Maryland.
Look out, Dr. Taylor.
You're falling all over everything today.
Darn shoelace, it's broken.
Don't you think the Navy pays you enough so you can afford a nickel for some new shoestring?
Well, I suppose so. I'll take care of it at lunch. Remind me, will you?
I'll remind you. You know, I never believed in absent-minded scientists before, but now I really...
What's the matter?
Oh, you must have bumped into the set when you tripped.
Signal does sound different.
I took this thing apart. Now I suppose I'll have to do it all over again.
I wonder what's wrong with it.
You gave it a shove, that's what's wrong.
Signal's okay now, listen.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That's funny.
Well, at least you can't blame me. I'll be darned.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Maybe they're not putting out a consistent signal across the river.
You know, I think I'm going to take a few years off until they get this device perfected.
I have a hunch the Navy would like us to take a few years on and perfect it. What's that? The other sound.
Well, take a look.
Oh, it's just a boat moving up the river. Yeah, it's almost past us.
Is it past now?
Yeah.
Are there any other boats on the river?
Well, no, I don't... One is coming around the bend, heading toward us.
Good. Keep your eye on it. I'll try and tell you when it's even with us.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't know for sure. Now it's going past us.
Well, how can you tell?
I can hear it.
You can what?
Don't you see, Leo? That's what's been wrong with the signal.
Wait a minute. You mean the boats on the river are...
Distorted it, exactly.
Wait a minute. I want to turn this off.
Okay.
Well, I guess we better do our experimenting where there isn't any river traffic.
No, Leo, we'd better stay right here.
What?
What would you say if I told you I just thought of an invention that would give man new eyes? Eyes that could see through darkness, through rain, through fog.
Doc, I'd say you were crazy.
Would you?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You mean the distortion of that signal? If a passing ship can affect a radio... Hey, Doc, I'm crazy, too.
I think we found something this afternoon, Leo. Something big. The very next day, we began to explore this unknown continent. Our experiments proved that passing objects reflect ultra-short radio waves as a mirror throws back a beam of light. These radio echoes, or wave reflections, formed the basis of the first practical system of radio detection, a system explained in a memorandum Leo and I wrote to the Navy Department.
Taylor, are you prepared to defend this thesis?
Yes, Admiral Robinson, I am.
I see. And are you aware, Dr. Taylor, that you and your co-workers were employed to perfect the ultra-shortwave radio, not to experiment on crackpot secret waves or
radio detection devices?
Precisely.
I am aware of that, sir. But I felt that the value of this discovery might be of even greater use.
Well, interestingly enough, Taylor, so do I. And so does the Navy. The department is establishing a naval research laboratory here in Washington. I'm authorized to offer you the job of superintendent of the radio division with full opportunity to continue your experiments.
Admiral, when do we start?
Research laboratory, Leo and I, along with many other scientists, push back still further the frontiers of radio detection. By beaming radio pulses against the ionospheric layer that blankets the Earth's surface, we learn how to measure the presence of objects by their distance and size. We sharpen the vision of our invisible eyes, but our time was growing short. In Italy, a new Caesar shouted of Mare Nostrum. Berlin street gangs, led by an ex-corporal, were breaking the windows of certain selected stores. And the sons of heaven swarmed over the Great Wall of China. Theoretical experiments gave way to practical military preparations.
It is requested that the Naval Research Laboratory undertake the discovery of methods for detection of naval aircraft.
The Navy Department wants to be informed of any theories or improvements in the field of submarine warfare.
A new landing system for aircraft. Detection of airplane.
Submarine warfare.
Landing system. Submarine warfare.
Detection of aircraft.
What do they want from us, Leo? Miracles?
Sometimes I think so.
Submarines, airplanes. I understood we were supposed to be radio experts.
Well, we did discover the principle of radio detection.
But are we any further along now than we were 17 years ago on the day we made the discovery?
Well, we found a lot of wrong answers, but they may be the path to the right one. So we must be further along. Although I will admit that you're still going around with broken shoelaces.
Hmm? No, it was all right this morning.
Well, at least we can do something about that.
Where are you going?
Out to buy you some shoestrings. I'll be right...
What is it, Leo?
I was just thinking, Doc, that morning on the river, maybe we really discovered everything then.
And didn't know it?
Sure. Oh, Doc, what fools we've been. Look, aircraft detection, submarine detection, just what the Navy's been asking for. Look, you remember when we were working on aircraft landing? We found that planes reflected our radio waves, the same way boats did on the Potomac.
And you think that's the answer to aircraft detection?
Well, look, if we use pulses like you did to measure the atmosphere, that's practical. Why, we'll be able to discover planes miles before you can hear them and see them. And the same thing will hold true of submarines.
Doc, we've got it! Radio detection and ranging. Leo, I feel like dancing!
You better not, Doc. You'll trip on your shoelaces.
Had an answer. Radio detection and ranging, eyes to search out enemy destroyers and airplanes, and with technical variations, even submarines. Then, in the maneuvers of 1938, we put our equipment aboard the USS New York, along with an operating crew headed by one of our most able assistants, a young scientist named Robert Page. We crossed our fingers, held our breaths, and waited.
Well, Mr. Page, somewhere out in that darkness is a destroyer squadron. Sometime between now and midnight, they'll attack the New York. All you have to do with that paraphernalia of yours is tell us when they're coming and where they are, if you can.
You sound dubious, Admiral Johnson.
Frankly, young man, I am. It's 11:15, Mr. Page. With your permission, Mr. Page, I'll send a lookout to the crow's nest. I do not propose to lose my ship even in a mock war while I wait for your gadget to buzz.
Wait a minute, sir. There they are.
Where are they, Mr. Page?
Let me see. They bear one, two, true. About 8 miles away, sir. What's that, sir?
Destroyer squadron establishing its position. 8 miles away, 1, 2, 2, troop. Mr. Page, I wish you'd do me a favor.
Yes, sir?
When you go ashore, I'd like you to leave that gadget aboard. From now on, I want to have radio detection and ranging equipment as a permanent fixture of the USS New York.
Discovery won its place on the seas. We'd passed the first test. But an even greater one was coming. One that began on December 7th, 1941. And that nearly a year later gave final proof of the efficiency of radio detection and ranging. On the night of November 14th, 1942, the sea battle for Guadalcanal was still in doubt. The Japanese fleet had disappeared into the darkness. And then, on one of our battleships, the beep of the radio pulse told that the eyes of our invisible sentry had found the enemy over 7 miles away, hidden, waiting. The great ship lifted her gun muzzles to the stars. They flashed and thundered by salvo. Second salvo landed squarely on the target. The power of the enemy fleet was broken. Our position in the Solomons was secure. We were on the sea lane to victory. And part of the glory belonged to a device that began with a broken shoelace. Radio detection and ranging, which, by now, Navy slang has shortened down to the one word, radar. This is George O'Brien again. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the real hero of our story, Dr. A. Hoyt Taylor, speaking from Claremont, California.
Thank you. I'm afraid you exaggerate the part I played in the development of an instrument which had the support and constant assistance of the finest men in the United States Navy. In particular, I want to mention the enthusiastic support given the development of radar by Admiral Johnson following the tests aboard the USS New York. But it is a great satisfaction to know that this weapon, radar, has reached through the space to touch the moon, has proved a safety device that has already saved countless civilian lives, and today serves as an ever-constant protective fence around the boundaries of this nation.
Thank you, Dr. Taylor.
Adventure is Your Heritage was written by Bob Libet and Frank Burt, and was directed by Frank K. Danzig for Universal Recorder. George O'Brien appeared by arrangement with the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This program was transcribed under the general supervision of William J. Bailey for the United States Navy Recruiting Service. And now this is Don Wilson inviting you to join us soon again for another in the series, Adventure is Your Heritage.